Praise the Lord. The Lord's good, amen. The Lord bless each one that's here tonight. We'll give you a very warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And I want to continue on a little further. Kept thinking of that song all day. And I didn't give Gary enough time to prepare, sing it. There's a miracle. There's a miracle. And then I was listening to a wee woman singing it as well. Bill Dunn used to sing it all the time. Don't give up, you're on the brink of a miracle. And it's true, isn't it? It is true. And we're on the brink of a miracle. God can give a miracle. Amen. And I was thinking after that, I'd looked up Bill Dunn was singing it, then a Norway woman was singing. Shaley used to sing it, now he could have sung it. And there's a miracle in the making for you, it's slightly different. Our Father's working one out right now. And he could have sung it, and he was anointed to sing it. And God's good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. I want us to turn to Cain to John 18. And tonight I want to talk about Christ suffering at the hands of men. John 18, verse 5 to 10, and then you can read on from verse 23 to 33. Maybe a brother put it up afterwards. But I won't read it all for sake of time. And I want to pray for Pastor Keith. I don't know his second name. He's a pastor in Dromore Presbyterian Church. I don't know the man, but he's been in an accident. He went to visit one of the women comes to the church, was sick. And he's involved in an accident, and they say he's not too well, and I want to pray for him tonight. Keith, it's a Presbyterian church in Dromore, that the Lord will really touch him. Let's stand our feet and let's say, read these. I was going to say sing these verses, but we'll try reading them. Praise God. Let's read from verse 5 of John 18. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto him, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou givest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. You could also read verse 23 to 33, but I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go through some of these verses tonight. And we just need the Lord's help. If you have anything in tonight, lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. We're going to pray. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that where two or three is gathered together in your name, that you have promised to be in the midst of them and not to bless them. Father, we're coming in the name tonight. We invoke the name of Jesus Christ tonight over this house and all that's in it and all that's near and dear to us. In Jesus' precious name tonight. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray for the hands raised, you'll meet every single need. Pressed down and running over the top. Ask you again for those who are sick and laid aside. Think especially of me, Auntie Eileen, you'll touch her tonight. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, make her whole and make her well. Visit her, I pray, supernaturally. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray again for Ben that's been hit with his car and Andrea tonight that you'll touch and bless and heal them both in the name of the Lord. I ask you for this Pastor Keith, Lord, in the church in Dromore. Father, I pray for this man. Lord, that you'll touch him, have mercy upon him and raise him up. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, bless your word till our hearts now, and I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered. And you know, one of the sufferings of the Lord was the fact that he was betrayed by a hypocrite. That was one of his sufferings. And that's the first thought I want to bring out tonight. And I have about seven thoughts I want to bring out tonight. There's so many messages on the cross. I tell you, it's unbelievable. You think you preached them all, and then you go back, and there's more and more and more and more. And I said this morning, and I think that's more my ministry, to preach in them things than anything else, and the Lord anoints it. Betrayed by the hypocrite, Judas, verse 5, and Judas also which betrayed him stood with them. Now we know when Judas betrayed the Lord, afterwards he went and hung himself. And we heard a man of God saying, he said there wasn't three trees, there was four. There was a three trees at Calvary, but there was a fourth tree and Judas Iscariot hung on it. But I tell you, he betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And then I preached a sermon once in Zimbabwe, and I preached it in a big church on a midweek service, and it was a very strange sermon. And I preached the man that kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell. And his name was Judas. He kissed the very door of heaven. For Jesus was the door of heaven. He who companioned with Christ and shared the fellowship with the disciples now takes a stand among the enemies of the Lord and lends his influence toward the downfall. Woe unto the hypocrites. There's a lot of hypocrites, isn't there? And every one of us has faced them. Here's another thing in verse 10. Defended by the passionate. And the Lord Jesus was defended by the passionate. And Peter was the passionate one. Peter, we could pick faults in Peter. But yet with all, I want to see Peter's passion. Peter was passionate. And the Lord knew what Peter was going to do. And if you were going to go back in this story, the Lord tells Peter, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And Peter was going to deny the Lord round the fire. And then here is Peter. And Peter draws a sword out. He takes the ear of Malchus. Now we know when it said this morning, the Lord put the ear back on him. Stuck it back on them. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear in verse 10 of John 18. The Lord had little need for Peter's passion as for a sword, the wrath of man's work, not the praise of God. There is a seal for Christ and his cause that must be more painful than the pleasing unto him. And I tell you, we need a seal for the Lord tonight, don't we? Now we know that the seal Peter had, it maybe was wrong at that point, but we need a seal for the Lord. And the Lord wants us to have a seal for him. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can give your focus to something that was used of God, but it's the wrong focus. God wants it directly. Us and him. He doesn't need an in-betweener. See, this is the thing about this message. There's no in-betweener needed between you and God, because God's in-betweener, the man that between God and man's Christ Jesus. No other in-betweener. Christ Jesus is the one that mediates between us and God tonight. You see in verse 23, if you go up to verse 23, he was smitten by the unreasonable. And Jesus answered, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? They smote the Lord in the face. They pulled and plucked his beard and the spat on him. It is easier for the pride of prejustice to sneer and smite than to face the truth, isn't it? And people today don't want to face the truth. Self-seeking men are ever ready to justify themselves. And here, the costs that smit the Savior. But the clouds that would hide the face of the sun, they can't hinder his progress. And you could look out there the day and there could be clouds out there. And you might not see the sun out there, but the sun's still out there. And sometimes the enemy wants to throw up a cloud so that you don't think there's any sun. But behind that cloud, there is a sun. And many times it seems to be we have clouds, but the sun's there. And I tell you, these boys here didn't realize that when they were smiting the Son of God, the Lord of all glory. Malachi says, for he shall arise with healing in his wings. Now, I'm not going to preach as long tonight, but I want to share these few thoughts. I went back into the office today for a time, just waiting on the Lord. Verse 25 tells us, when Simon Peter had charged with being one of his disciples, he denied it and said, I'm not. Denied by the cowardly. Even though he'd been with the Lord, and every one of us could be guilty, we could have a moment when we're up and we're great, but when we're away and there's nobody else with us, sometimes we can back off, can't we? And here Peter backed off, and he denies the Lord, but the Lord knew he was going to do it. And Simon Peter was charged with it. He denied the Lord. The Lord in his cause still suffers much through the cowardliness of his professed followers, doesn't it? There's a lot of people profess they're Christians, but there's no fruit in the tree to prove it choose not. I tell you, you would never know they are. You know what? There's a man I know, and I'll not mention his name, and I have friends that know the same man. Brother Gary might know about this story if I refer it. He might be able to guess it and know. But this boy here, he's a face on him, Larry, like the Lurgan Spade. And I tell you, he's very critical of everything. And you never get a smile off him or a movement off him. And I have a friend, and he goes on the streets, and Rock used to go with him. And they were doing a great work. But this boy, he couldn't give him no credit for it. He was down on it. So I just happened to be at a football match one night. My brother-in-law took me to see Northern Ireland playing the Green White Army. And they started singing Green White Army, and the whole place was going, banging, and they were swaying back and forth. And boys, didn't I look down, and there he was. He was rejoicing at the football. And he had the arms up, and boy, he was into it, well into it. And I let him get well into it even more. For I was ready for him, for he would have sunk you. And when he got well into it, I slipped up behind him and topped him on the shoulder. And I said, brother, I see you in high praise tonight. Boys, I tell you, he gave me some look. He couldn't praise the Lord with a fellow Christians, and he couldn't stomach it. And he made no response. You never would know he was saved. No testimony with him to say he was saved. He had no testimony. You'd never hear him witness it. You'd never hear him talking about the Lord. But those that did it, he ridiculed them. But he could praise the football. And boy, he was near dancing. But I had loved it. So I said to myself, you boy, you're not praising church, but you'll praise out here with the word, the flesh and the devil. The old man says, isn't it? Isn't it the truth? But I tell you, he near fell off his feet. Didn't he do the right thing? Many's a Christian man, he took the legs from under them, ridiculing them. But he never stepped out for God. And I tell you, a man that goes in the street and gives a track out, or says a word for the Lord, or witnesses to somebody, we need to be behind them in prayer. I don't want to be discouraging them. When William Mullen got saved, you know, he met an old boy, and he says he near put him back. He nearly put him back when he told him he got saved. You see, there's some people, and they think they're the only ones going to be in heaven. There's some organizations like that. We know some of them, don't we? If you're not in this group, you'll not be there, but they're in for some shock. I'll tell you one thing. There's only one thing you need to be there, and a prophet of God said it, the blood mark.
He said when he seen them pedigree Herefords coming through, and he looked at them and he said to the fella, how do you know which ones is the pedigree ones? He says, I know by the mark on their ear. There's a tag on them. And by the tag, that's the mark. I know which ones they are. And I tell you, we're marked by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. We're marked. And they're going to be there. And there's men and women going to be there from all places and all races and all nations that have accepted Christ. It's not wonderful. There are other ways. There's others who will deny, like Peter Christ. And he did it with a tongue. And we may do it with our feet or by general conduct. And when the act of behavior is more keeping with enemies of Christ than with the word and teaching and the practicality, it's denying them. And there's some people, they're more for the world than they are for the believer. They'd back the unsaved before they'd back their fellow Christian. We should always back the fellow Christian, even if we don't agree in every wee tiddly tittle. If they've got the truth, we should back them. It's not right. Because the world will sink you. Just like Judas sunk the Lord. Here's another thought in verse 28. Shunned by the self-righteous. Then led they Jesus unto the hall of judgment, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Our brother Gary, I think, mentioned similar to this morning. They should be defiled. That they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So these hypocrites that put Jesus on the cross, they don't enter. But the Lord could do it. All right for him to do it. Anything or place was clean enough for Jesus. That's what they're saying. But they must preserve their supposed ceremonial holiness. They were too good to go. They strained the knot and swallowed the camel. This is what one is called putrid hypocrisy. And that means filthy hypocrisy or dirty hypocrisy. Putrid hypocrisy. I looked it up today. These, like all other self-righteous bigots, would seek the blessing without the blesser. And I tell you, there can be no blessing without the blesser. And there's a lot of people want the blessing, but they never preach about the blesser. And they never uplift the blesser, but they want the blessing. But we can never have the blessing unless we bless the blesser. And uplift the blesser. And the blesser is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. And if we're going to have the blessing, we can't miss him. And go some other way around it to get it. We have to go by him and uplift him. And that's the only way to get it. But you see, they want the blessing without the blesser. And they would have the Passover without him who is the Passover. They were worried about the Passover. But there can be no Passover without the one who is the Passover. And the Lord is our Passover lamb. He's our Passover lamb tonight. And we have the Passover because of him. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. These ceremonial Jews missed who it was. They missed it. They were religious. They could quote Moses. They could keep the law. They could fire stones at the woman in adultery. But they missed the person of the Lord Jesus. Totally missed him. And how the religious world today does it again. And even circles that claim to be revelated and revelatory in all sorts of Tories. And all sorts of revelation. But I wonder this evening, if the Lord Jesus came in their midst, would they know him? Would they know the man with the nail-scarred hands? Could they sing with old blind Fanny Crosby, I shall know him, I shall know him, by the nail marks in his hands? I tell you, she was going to know by the feeling of the nail prints in his hands, even if she couldn't see him. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight it's the Lord Jesus we need to see. We don't need to see some special man. I told them last night, I don't believe in suitcase revivals. We need a move from God. There's no special suitcase preacher that can do it, but the Lord can do it. They're like man crying for the light. Crying for the light, give me light, give me light. And yet they close their eyes to the sun. With the dark glasses on. There's a lot today with the dark glasses on. They talk about light. But when the light itself shone here, here was the light of the world before these hypocritical ones here, Pharisees, and these Jews, and they put them on the cross. And they're so sanctimonious about it. I haven't got time to prepare everything that I wanted to prepare in my heart. But I'm going to preach it again. I preached it before and I had all the notes for it, and I don't know where they've went. But I spent hours and hours preparing all about the trials of Jesus. How they trialed him, and some of them trials and the things they accused him on were fake. And they shouldn't even have been used as evidence against him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Here's a sixth thing about it. Verses 33 and 38 and also chapter 19 and verse 9. And her brother can put it up, but I won't for the sake of time. Questioned by the ambitious. You know, the Lord was questioned by the ambitious. You ever been questioned by the ambitious? I remember many years ago, God gave me a dream or a vision. Brother George knows this is the honest truth. And I was going to be going to the pastor's house, and his wife was going to be making us lunch, and his daughter was going to play the piano. But there was going to be a young man come to the door, and he was engaged to the young woman that weren't even married at the time. And they were going to come to the door, and this young boy was, he was wet behind the ears, I'll just be honest about it. But he knew more than me. They knew more, you see. And God gave me the whole thing. And I seen in the house and was never in it. And I seen the woman making the dinner. And I seen the young girl with the long hair sitting at the piano and playing it. And the doorbell rang. And I seen the young man and woman come in the door. Then I heard him asking me the three questions. One was on the Godhead, brother. All about the Trinity. Another one was about woman preaching. And the third one, I think, was water baptism. And should I never go after this pulpit tonight, the voice told me how to answer them three questions. And I never thought no more about it. Time passed, and I thought nothing more about it. And then me and Brother Jordy was doing open airs, and this pastor in Banbridge here invited me for tea, for dinner. And there it was. And as I sat down, and specifically in this dream or vision, whatever it was, the woman passed her through a hole in the wall. And here, boy, she makes the dinner, and she opens the wee hole in the wall, and the food comes out, and everything starts unfolding, and I'm saying to myself, I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. And then he says, my daughter's going to play the piano, and she gets over to the piano, and there in the thing, her hair was touching the floor, and her hair was right to the floor. She had real long hair, and she was fantastic on it. And then the doorbell went. And there come in the young man's name. I know his name. I won't mention his name. And he come in with his wife-to-be, and they'd just been from some sort of a Bible college. And because I'd never been in one, apparently I knew nothing, and he knew everything. But he didn't know who was working with me. Because he had three answers, but somebody had the three answers answered. And they told me all about it. And I just told them what I was told to tell them. And I tell you, that's what God can do. God can give you the insight. Now, I couldn't go home the night and say, Lord, see tomorrow morning, I want you. Can you do all that? I can't do that. But God can do that for any one of us. Isn't he wonderful? Here you see these ambitious questions. Pilate asked three questions to Jesus that profit nothing by them. Three questions. And you know, let me say this before I show you these three questions. Pilate's wife warned him. God gave her a dream and said, you need to have nothing to do with this innocent man. So God gives her a dream and she tells Pilate, have nothing to do with this innocent man. And you know, Pilate even washed his hands. And William Mullen tells a story, and I love it. And I've often told it, and I'm telling it again tonight. He had a neighbor who was an artist, Brother Larry, and he could draw wonderful drawings. And he said, Brother Mullen, Pastor Mullen, he says, I want you to see this wonderful drawing I have. And it's Christ before Pilate. And he showed Pastor Mullen this wonderful drawing, this beautiful painting that he'd spent hours and weeks and months on preparing and painting. And William Mullen never spoke a word. And he eventually said to William Mullen, well, what do you think of it? And William Mullen says, I'm thinking of a better picture. And he says, you are. And he says, yes, I'm thinking of a better picture. He said, what's your picture? He says, it's Pilate before Christ. And Christ was before Pilate, but one day Pilate will be before Christ at the great judgment seat of Christ. And I tell you, that'll be some picture. But Pilate in verse 33 says, art thou the king of the Jews? Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, well, they said, I am. And then the second question, what is truth? Truth was before him. Truth was in front of him, but he didn't know it. And I tell you, this Bible's truth tonight. Jesus Christ is the truth. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And Jesus Christ was truly the King of the Jews. And Jesus Christ was truly the truth. And here's the third thing. Whence art thou? In chapter 19 and verse 9. And let me read you to chapter 19 verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. By such questions, the Christ was oppressed, he was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He could have turned around and said to Pilate, because if you go back in the Gospels, you can see it. He says, I come from God. I go back to God. When Philip said, show us the Father, he says, have I been so long with you and do you not know me? He could have told Pilate all them things, but he opened not his mouth. There was a truth before him. And how many people today can hear the truth and they do nothing with the truth? I tell you, Jesus is the truth. Men animated by selfish and impure motives still oppress him, don't they? Whose divinity is clear as the sun by the questioning regarding his character and teaching. He that doth his will shall know the teaching of the doctrine. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it speak of myself. And I tell you, there's doctrine, and when you hear it, you'll know it's of God or you'll know it's not of God. And I tell you, if it doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe it's from God. Here's my last thought tonight, and I'm going to close. Chapter 19, verse 2 and 3. Let me read you to the John 19, verse 2 and 3. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place for Jesus. Sorry, I'm in 18. Chapter 19, verse 2 and 3. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. And you can read that in these scriptures. These men of war set him who is the Prince of Peace at naught. They didn't realize what they had. They set him at naught. And how many people set things at naught that don't realize how good they are? And they set it at naught. And here's the Lamb of God set at naught with smart men. And they set him at naught. Luke 23:11 says, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous purple robe and sent him again to Pilate, mocking him. Mocking him. They robed him to mock him. They never robed him to praise him. They robed him to mock him. You see, the crucifixion was a mockery. It was the most terrible thing. And then they stripped him naked. He was put to shame because Galatians says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And the Lord was naked, totally naked. Just imagine you were stripped naked before everybody. Wouldn't you be ashamed that you couldn't cover yourself? And the Lord was stripped naked before the world because he loved us so that we could be clothed. He was stripped naked so that we could be clothed. And I want to say tonight, we're clothed tonight with his divine righteousness. To them, the kingdom of Caesar is everything. The kingdom of God, nothing. Material things important, but spiritual things ridiculed and laughed at. And I see men today still the same. That's all they're interested in, the pound note. And won't matter how much they get, they want more. They're that greedy, it's unbelievable. And if they can get a pound of you, and they're sitting with thousands, they'll take it. That's greed. I tell you, boy, what I didn't get to hear what Brother Brian preached, but it sounds good to me. That when we are over in that millennial reign, it'll be back to the real organic, in the sense of the farming and the old ways, and every man will have his own vineyard. Isn't it wonderful, wonderful? And I hope there's none of the stuff that there is now. It'll be great. And I thank the Lord for it. It's something to look forward to, isn't it? Truly, they know not what they do. Sure they don't, because they ridicule and laugh to them. You see, they laughed at the person of Christ. Revelation 1:17-18, when I'm closing. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Let me read you this wee saying I've wrote down. And then we're going to close. I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of naught beside. I have heard the voice of Jesus. All my soul is satisfied. I tell you, it's the Lord I want to see. See, when I get to heaven, brother, there's been great men that's went on. But I don't want to rush in to see them. I want to see the Lord. He died for me. The Lord died for me on the cross. He's the one I love tonight. Let's stand our feet. God bless you this evening. Let's have a word of prayer and then a brother's going to come. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for all that you've done for us. You stood in our room and stood in our stead and you died on the cross. But Lord, we know that God raised you again from the dead on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Father, will you bless your people tonight? Moving men and women this evening, if someone would hear this message. Lord, maybe it hasn't came across the way I planned it, but I just pray you'll bless your truth and touch hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 God bless you. Don't forget Thursday night, 7:30, a prayer and Bible study. And
I'm not sure if Brother John's back next week or not, but it's 2 weeks today when he's gone, and I'm not sure if it's what date he's back on, but Friday coming then. So he'll probably be here next Sunday if he is. We'll hear a report. But just pray the Lord will have his way. And then 9 weeks, 9 Sundays to me and Sharon goes to New Zealand. Pray for us that the Lord will just undertake and everything. And the Lord will have his way. I might be going to preach for Brother Howard. In between, I'll be there for 3 weeks. So just pray that the Lord will have his way. And the Lord bless each one.
Yeah, man. Let us sing that hymn, Jesus Was Slain For Me at Calvary.
Bless us tonight, Lord, as we travel home, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you bring revival, Lord. bring a revival in this village, Lord. Yes, Lord, you see the way it's going, Lord. Yes. Lord, we're all running to the chapel, Lord. Mm-hmm. But Lord, we come tonight to run to Jesus Christ, the author yes. and the finisher of our faith, Lord. Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that little chorus as we go. Yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it. I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray, and you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Praise God. Just Brother Frank had mentioned in the, when he was preaching again, he told the story about his dad at Dunkirk, and he said how that, you know, the call for a day of prayer and how that God delivered them. But, you know, already Hitler already stopped before they prayed. He made reference to that. God knows the needs before you pray. Praise God. And he really had answered. Praise God. So isn't it wonderful to know? Praise God. So we'll sing this little chorus as we go. The Lord bless you. Have a blessed week in the Lord. And see you at home.
Yes.